We're going to pick it up in Exodus 9, and I believe we left off in verse 29. He says in verse 29, "And Moses said unto him, As soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's." Now, first of all, what a blessing that is to be able to be just a mere man and God use you in such a way where He said, "I'm going to spread abroad my hands unto the Lord." Amen. And then the Lord do something on that behalf. Y'all, I'll tell you something, that's very humbling. But you think of this right here. The Bible talks about lifting up holy hands in prayer and things like that. And what you have is you've got to realize there's a type of prayer there. Let me show you something here while we're on that subject. Turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 17. We'll just kind of delve into this just a second because I got it on my mind then. Maybe we need to. One subject I don't think that I can preach too much on, talk too much about, is prayer. Prayer is something that every Christian needs to be well acquainted with. I don't pray enough, although I try to pray, and I don't think any of us could pray enough, because I'm going to tell you something, you're spending time with the Lord, and when you're praying, you're literally in communion with the Father, and I'm going to tell you something, prayer is powerful. I cannot express, but Moses said, okay, I'm going to spread out my hands. All right, whenever you're spread out in your hands, here's surrender. I've got my hands up, I'm surrendering, and then I'm expecting something too. When you hold your hands out like this, I'm hugging something, maybe hugging somebody. But you think about this: here's the Lord, and He's called our Father, and we reach up like this, like "Pick me up, Daddy." You know what I mean? Now that's very humbling, because look, let me tell you something. I don't know any of y'all have had kids. Whenever your little one comes up and goes, "Huh." you know, when they're real little, they do that, they just go, "Huh." And you pick them up. All right. Well, you think about this. You're saying, "Lord, I need some help here. I can't do it. I surrender. I can't do it. I need you," lifting up hands. Now, in Exodus 17, what you have here is a physical battle, but it's a picture of a spiritual battle. And as you read this thing, Amalek, in verse 8, is a type of the flesh. And guess what? It signifies the war, and we're in a spiritual warfare. But this illustrates here what's going on, because look, Moses and Aaron and Hur are up on the top of this mountain, and the Bible teaches right up through here that as Moses, as long as he had his hands held up, that the battle, Joshua prevailed in battle beneath. But as soon as he let his hands down, then Joshua wouldn't win. So you know what? As you hold up your hands in prayer, you will be victorious in your Christian walk. But it's whenever we stop praying. I'll tell you something, for me personally, when I start getting out of fellowships, when I stop praying, when I stop going to God, I've learned more and more, go to the Lord instantly in prayer. The Bible says men ought always to pray. The Bible tells you praying always. And right here in Exodus 17 verse 11, it says, "And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand." See, he said, "I'm going to hold up my hands to the Lord. It's going to stop." He says, "The Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." Well, there's a battle going on below. Look, there's a thing going on above our head that would scare you to death, and I believe it'd drive us to prayer more. We wonder why a lot of things go on in our life. It's just mercy that, guess what? We're saying, hey, we need to get down here and start praying. I want to show you something here in Paul's epistles. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, used to, I didn't do this until I started actually looking at this thing more and more. But we don't have to get up in the church service, you know what I'm doing, like this. But I want to tell you something that'll humble you. And I really want to be a help to you. I really want to be a blessing to you. Go home and privately, not around anybody else or nothing like that, but go home and privately when nobody else is around and just hold up your hands. It's humbling. It's humbling. Because you know what? When you get by yourself It's something about that. Your heart was smoke. You know, like the Bible says, well, it smoked my heart and things like that. It's very humbling. You're saying, hey, when you look down or you can look up and you say, Lord, there's nothing I can do. I've got my hands up. And Lord, I need you. And I tell you something, that you get some attention there.
Yes, you will.
You know one reason why a lot of our prayers don't get attention. And like I said, I'm not stomping on you. I love y'all. And it seemed like I love you more today than I did when we first met. But I'm just telling you. You know why a lot of us pray? Because we know that's what we're supposed to be doing.
That's right.
We're just praying because we get down and we say, well, I'd feel bad if I went to the end of the day and I didn't pray.
Yeah.
But you know what? When you go into prayer, you're going to a Father that loved you so much He sent His only begotten Son. You don't have to question His love. It's already been shown.
That's right.
So when you go there and you do that, it's Abba, Father, Daddy. That's personal. Mm-hmm. You're saying, hey, I need you. And I'm going to tell you something. If our earthly Father will reach down there and pick you up, don't you know your heavenly Father is much better than earthly Father? Because look, us as earthly fathers aren't capable of that kind of love.
Amen.
As much as we want to be, we don't have it in us. We're not God.
That's right.
And Timothy says over here, he says over here, and I hope I gave you the verse, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 8. This is Paul. This is our apostle. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. You can pray like Lot running. You can pray like Nehemiah right quick before you see the king. You can pray up on a mountaintop. You can pray in battle. You can pray when you lay down in your bed at night like David did, wetting your bed with tears. You can pray anywhere. He says, I have it. Pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, why'd he throw that in there? Like, why? Because you know what happens? Two things. When you get down to, I don't know what it is. Now, maybe it's just me. Without wrath and doubt. Two things that's going to come up when you get down to pray is you're going to get thinking about somebody you're mad at.
Yeah.
You are. You're going to get down there. You know why it's good to pray with your spouse? Why? Because it's hard to be mad at somebody you're praying with. It's real hard. You know. And all right, now here's the second thing. Wrath's going to be on your mind. All right, here's the second thing. Doubting. Why, Lord, why would you? Lord, not going to trouble Himself for that. He's running all that. All right, so guess what? So what are we saying? You think God's so busy that He can't do all that and worry about your problem too?
Right.
What it is, a lot of it, let me tell you what, I've analyzed my doubts a lot of times. And you know what it is? A lot of times I'll doubt and I'll say, I'm just not going to pray for that one because I think in the back of my mind, it's not going to get done. And then I can say, well, it wasn't going to get done anyway, so I that's the reason why I didn't pray. And then I think, well, I should have just prayed about it anyway. Mm-hmm. And if it didn't get done, it didn't get done. But if it did get done, wow, what a blessing. You see, what I'm learning is this. Ask the Lord for anything you can find in that Bible that will match. You ask the Lord for it, and if He don't give it to you, when we get on the other side of her, He can say, hey, I didn't give it to you because of so-and-so, so if He wants to. But I'd hate to get over there, and He say, I wish you had asked me for that. I know it was on your mind, but you scared I wasn't going to give it to you. But you know what? I would have gave it to you. Now, I wonder how many blessings we're going to miss out on. Here's Moses, and he says, I'll spread abroad my hands unto the Lord. Not just spreading up His hand saying, you know, ah, Pharaoh. That's what we do. But Moses says, hey, I'm going to spread out my hands. I'm going to say, Lord, I can't do anything. And I can't do anything with Pharaoh. Y'all got some Pharaohs in your life. I can't do anything with Pharaoh. Lord, will you help? y'all ever got mad and went, oh, I do. But you know what? If we would go, Lord, I need you. You see the power that comes with that? It's all over the Bible. It's power. You know what? It's God's power. Now here He is. He says, and what does He say? Back in Exodus 9, He said, the earth is the Lord's. Now the Bible said in the Psalms, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But you need to know something about this right now. The earth is the Lord's. But this world system's ran by the devil. Hold your place again. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, people say, what's going on in this world? Why is old so-and-so getting office? And why is old so-and-so do this, that? Because look, very rarely do the good folks get in. That's like your major, you know, your senators, representatives. There are some good ones. There really are. But they're very few. And why is that happening? Because the devil's running this world system.
That's right.
And we have to remember that. But you know what the rough part is? You got all these folks and these, Brother Chase, what do you think about the government? Man, we need, that is not our business to get out here and talk bad about our government. Why? Because the Bible says the powers that be are ordained of God. That's Paul saying that. You know what Paul says? He says, pray for them. So instead of complaining about them, if we'd be praying for them, we'd probably be getting a whole lot better stuff done than running old so-and-so and this and that and this down. Why? Pray for them.
That's exactly right.
That's what we don't do, is we don't pray for. A lot of folks want to complain, but they don't want to pray for the ones in authority. Well, y'all, look, any government's better than no government.
That's exactly
a bad government. Paul said pray for them when Nero... Killing, murdering. I tell you something. I've thought a few times about sharing some of the stuff what Nero did. That man was insane, lunatic, crazy. Paul said, pray for him. I'm serious. You can't get no... That man was crazy. And lighting people on fire and sitting them around his table and eating meals with people on fire. And people. I'm telling you, man, that guy was crazy. He was power hungry and he was full of the devil. Paul said, well, pray for that man. I'll tell you something, that's a lot of grace right there.
Yes,
we think, you know, we get to thinking, I'm telling you, sometimes the devil says, oh, you're growing a little bit. You get to reading some of this stuff in this Bible and think, I'm so far from where they ought to be, where I ought to be and where these men were in this Bible. And the Lord gets smacked in the face and spat upon and a crown of thorns. And the Lord just, the Bible said he was reviled and he reviled not again. Man, that's humbling. Look at the devil running this world system. You're going to have things going on in this world system. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. In whom the God. Now you know what? The God of this world. He's the God of this. The Bible calls it this present evil world. Present evil world. Alright, so the God. Now you know what Allah, you know what his name is? You know what his name means? Allah means the God. Isn't that something? The God of this world. So here's Allah right here, the God. You're not going to get nothing. You know what's happened? Hath blinded the minds. Now what's wrong with people? Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. You want to worship image? Worship Jesus Christ. Not his image. Look, I can see his image in this Bible right here. Alright, it says, should shine unto them. You know what happens? People don't realize this. But when they don't believe the Lord, they get blinded by the God of this world, and the things of this world blind them. Y'all ever been going somewhere and all these big old bright lights and stuff like that going on through there? And the Bible says men love darkness rather than light. Their deeds be exposed, and they do all these things at dark. And you know what? Those lights are attracted. You know what? You ever seen a bug zapper? Those little bugs and stuff. Man, you're talking about something entertaining. You get you one of those bug zappers and watch those flies and stuff. But you know what that is? That's a false light. That's what the devil does to the people of the world. And he just leads them right into the false light. And then whenever they get the light, they're like, wow, this is going to be awesome. And it just shocks them. Well, you know what happens? That's what the devil does.
Right.
He's the God of this world. See, the earth is the Lord. And I'll tell you something. He's going to come back one of these days and claim his title. But right now, he's letting the God of this world, he really thinks he's going to do something. You know what gets me? He's false light. And you know what gets me about this thing? The Bible said he's transformed himself into an angel of light and all this stuff about light and light. Light's connected to the devil. And the Bible said that the Lord is going to destroy him with the brightness of his coming. That's amazing. The devil thinks he's so bright and he's real smart people, they say, man, he's bright, you know. Well, the devil was full of wisdom and everything, and the Lord just going to come back he's going to really think he's bright. The Lord's brightness is just going to knock him out. That's amazing how the Lord does that over and over and over with the devil. The devil is no comparison. And I'll tell you something, in anything. He tries to be like God, but he can't be. Now, so I wanted you to see that. He's saying the earth is the Lord, and the earth is the Lord. Hey, I tell you, there's another thing. Go back to Exodus. And I was listening to it the other day on my Bible. And I was going up through there, and he's going in the Psalms, and I forget because I listened to almost all the Psalms. And he says in one place over there, I want to say it's around Psalm 52, if I had to guess. But he said, if I was hungry, I would not tell thee. He's talking about the earth being his and everything. He said, look, he's so much God. He said, if I were hungry, I would not even tell thee. That's amazing to me. That's our God. Look, why? Because look, he's not gonna concern us with our kids. You ever notice why? How much different God's character is? God owns the earth. God owns like the old preacher used to say, the hills and the taters under the hills and all the cows on the hills and everything else. And he says, I'm not gonna come and complain to you. You know what happens? A lot of people, you ever notice how they always want to complain to you like they got it worse? Like if you had a bad day at work, look, there's a couple of people, you can't tell them you had a bad day at work. Well, let me tell you about my day. I got my foot sawed off today, and then my right arm nearly got jerked out of the socket. I mean, I'm telling you, if you tell them you had something bad, they're going to have 10 things. Look, the Lord does. The Lord, look, he puts up with his creation not obeying him. All day long. The Lord, He makes sure every single animal in the world is fed. He's answering all these prayers. He's making sure all these promises are coming to pass. And he said, look, if I was hungry, I wouldn't even tell you about it. I'm not going to complain to you. And if anybody has a right to complain, the Lord wouldn't complain. You know what we do? Man, let me tell you what happened. You know what? There's nothing wrong with telling people some things that go on, but I tell you this, you can build people up a whole lot better. It's better for us to be a Barnabas and say, hey, let me tell you some good things that's going on. You know what? The other day, I was going through, and I'm not by no means saying I do anything good, by no means. But I was going through there, and I pulled my truck in, and I said, Lord, thank you for getting me to work. I'm trying to thank the Lord for each thing. I'm trying to get in a better habit of thanking God. And I pulled in the parking lot, and I said, God, have a good day. I thought, have a good day. Wonder what he thought about that. I mean, you know, he's outside of time. But what happens is, I'm trying to get myself to where I'm not... And Lord, you know, today is supposed to be, you know, I want to try to come to the throne room here and say, Lord, I just want to tell you a lot of things going on, but man, I appreciate what you've done for us. Lord, thank you for our church. Thank you for trying to go through the whole thing there, Lord. Wow, this is wonderful. What we've got here, I tell you, man, it's very rare. It's very rare. We've got the Bible sitting here, and it feels good out in here this afternoon. And we're going to get to go home and then get more blessings. Y'all, I tell you something, we're blessed. And we better take a lot we've got and do a lot with it. And instead of being like a lot of folks having a whole lot and doing so little, while so many have so little and do so much.
Right.
We've got to let the Lord know, man, we appreciate it. It's the earth is the Lord's, but guess what? We get in on it. All these posted signs and things like that, and you can take them things down one of these days and say, look here, all that belongs to the Lord. The earth is his. I don't have no posted sign around here. But they can put them up right now. But one day, it's going to be different. All right, now look at verse 30. But as for thee, but as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not fear the Lord God. He knows. He know, but nothing. Look, when you're a servant of the Lord, things like that don't have to catch you by surprise.
Yeah, that's right.
Why? He's already talked to the Lord about it, spoken to the Lord about it, and the Lord said, hey, Pharaoh's not going to let you go even by a mighty hand. I want you to know that. And Pharaoh said, it's not going to take me by surprise. We're going to give you some mercy over and over again. All right, look at this, verse 31. And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was boiled. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. You're still seeing God's mercy, not taking it all out. But I tell you something, it gets worse and worse and worse. We talked about it a little bit last time. God is merciful.
Yes, he is.
But people keep turning down, people keep turning down. Just like what this country's doing right now, he's giving a little mercy, he'll let something else happen. He's giving a little mercy, he'll let something else happen. Let me tell you something. These people don't realize, They talk about, get God out of here. We don't talk about, God is a perfect gentleman.
Amen.
He is not going to force himself on us, on our family, or on this country. Now, I'm just like anybody else. I'm thankful to be born here. I'm thankful for the freedom I've had. But I'm going to tell you something. The more we kick him out, the more he's going to step back and say, okay, you don't realize how many devils would love to just come in and terrorize, but God can have a protective hand if you welcome him. But I'll tell you something, you let the protective hand come off of anything. And it's scary what can happen.
Yeah.
You read the book of Job, and that's terrifying. Do you realize all the devil has to do is just kind of step back a little bit, and the devil will come in there, and man, he would love to tear everything he could tear up apart and kill and slay. Why? He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what he wants to do. He likes to destroy things. I tell you something, man, good. Thank God for his mercy. He says in verse 33, and Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord, and the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. What a thing God would use a man like that. Now, you know what? You want to be used to God? Here's Moses. He spent the first 40 years out there in Egypt. The second 40 years, that's 80 years now, he spent on the backside of the desert, and the Lord said, hey, I want to use you in this last part right here. Go out here and I'll let my power flow through you. You know what's wrong with this generation and what saddens me about this generation is they're not patient with the Lord. They want everything now. They'll look up here, well, my mom and papa's got so-and-so and so-and-so, and I should have it. Well, they spent their whole life working. You want what they've got right now without doing what they did. I'll tell you something. You're not going to get the power of God. People say, Moses got the power of God. Okay, well, it took a while too. The thing is, y'all, you're not going to look. Unless you're willing, the salvation got to give you that. But now, as far as him just doling his power out on people, he is not going to pour his power out on old Adam. He's not going to anoint that flesh. He's going to use the Spirit, and you got to have the Holy Spirit. You know, now, here's something a preacher told me, and I try to tell you all that when it comes up. You'll never know the release of the Spirit until you know the restraint of the Spirit.
How about that?
The Lord had perfect restraint. He had the Holy Spirit without measure, and the Lord could have come down from the cross. The Lord could have killed every one of his enemies. The Lord could have done anything he wanted to do. He could have called for 12 legions of angels and just overkilled the world 10 times over, but he didn't do it. You know why? Because he exercised restraint. And look what all he got done by exercising restraint. The thing is oftentimes if we got the power to do something, we just want to do it right then. Moses let the power come from God and flow through him. Now, by way of illustration on this, one of my favorite things is when we were little, Daddy had that electric fence running around the house back there, and you could get in some trouble with that fence. Now, you have to watch that thing.
Yeah.
All right, but now, me and Cain would touch that fence, and it'd shock us. And so sometimes we'd see who the toughest one who could hold the thing longest. And so anyway, we'd get shocked, and you barely touch that thing, man, that thing would shock you. But we see this little bird, and this little bird would come and light on that fence, and it just sit there. And we think, what is going on? But you know what we found out as we got talking about? We were grounded. And because we're grounded, we would touch that wire, and the power wouldn't just run through us like it was running through that bird. You know it's true. You know why we don't get the power? We're so grounded to this world, we can't do like Moses. Why? Moses was connected to the Lord, and he was saying, you're going to see over him. Pharaoh's trying to get him to compromise over and over and over. He kept his connection between him and the Lord, and the power could run through him. But you know what with us? Oftentimes, we wonder why we get shocked by things, and the power backfires instead of it working like it's supposed to and run through. That bird just was sitting on there. He wasn't touching the ground. He wasn't ground this world, and it was running right through him. Mm-hmm. You know what goes on with us? We say, God, I want that. I'd like to have the power. Yeah. I'd like to have it. Yeah. But we're so grounded to things of the world, we wonder what goes on. Well, I tell you something. We get to find it. I say, okay, you can tell. You know well as I do when that power's flowing through you when it's not. And we can tell, and I say, Lord, now what's grounding me here? I'm grounded out somewhere. And I'll tell you something, sometimes it'll come in the most strange places. Sometimes one little limb can be on that fence. You have to go down through there and check that fence line, that electric fence, and it'd be one little limb on that fence or something like. You know what? Sometimes in our life it's one little thing that we missed. And we don't realize it's grown up against that thing and it's grounding us out. And I tell you something, most times, and I know with me, just like well as some of y'all, my friend, it's the little foxes.
That's right, brother.
It's not going to be some great big old area. Why? Because most of you come into church, you're reading your Bible. The devil's going to get you in little things. And so he's got to get that little thing to ground you. Why? He don't want you to have power. He don't want you to be able to stand up and give a good devotion, Brother Mike. Why? He wants to rob your power. He don't want y'all to be able to have get along real good and everything. Why? Because he knows his power and that stability. And he tries to rob every one of us some kind of way. Moses just lifts up his hand, and you imagine what that must have been right here whenever he raises up his hand. And don't you know they thought, hey, that man, God is using a man right there. Man, that's a blessing. That's what we want to do. Look at verse 34. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, and he and his servant. You know what he did? His servants are following him.
That's right.
You see that example? You know what happened with Simon Peter? Simon Peter said, well, I'll go a fishing. Well, they said, well, we'll go eat. We got to realize something. We carry influence over people. And a lot of folks say, okay, well, he hardens his heart. Okay, but on the opposite token, hey, well, they're trying to serve the Lord. And I like them. I'm going to serve the Lord too. Courage gives birth to courage, just like cowardice gives birth to cowardice. See, there are people who will follow you if you're courageous, just like people will follow you if you're cowards a lot of times. Moses' servants are doing what Pharaoh's servants are doing what Pharaoh's doing. And you got to realize something. He saw that, hey, it ceased. Yeah, I've showed you this a few times, but turn to Ecclesiastes 8. This is going on today. You know what's going on in our country? And many others, but I have to say this just because I live in America, so I don't know what's going on in Japan. I don't live in Japan. But I want you to know this verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 is going on just like Pharaoh, and you wonder why people... You know what's going on? People are killing babies every day, and they think, well, God's not doing anything. People are corrupting churches every day, and they think, well, God's not doing anything about it. People are marching prideful in the streets and every day, and they're saying, well, what's going on? They're mistaking God's love for His mercy. God is having mercy on people. God is not willing that any should perish. He's long suffering right now. They're being mistaken. Now, what's going on with Pharaoh? Pharaoh is mistaken right here. He's thinking, well, nothing's going to happen. So you know what the wisest earthly man said? Ecclesiastes 8 verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work, Pharaoh was doing evil work, is not executed speedily. Therefore the heart. Now what did it say? He hardened his heart. The heart of the sons of men is fully set. They say, well, his heart is set. Okay, well, Pharaoh set his heart. You know what God said? Okay, well, I'll use this as a good vessel right here. He's got his heart set. He's a good one to use, and I'll make an example out of him. Set in them to do evil. Now, I'll tell you something. You know why he kept on getting set? He said, well, it was going to happen, but then nothing happened. Well, he don't realize in the background all kind of destruction's going on in the background. You know what's going on with our country? Our country's saying, well, God hadn't done anything. Where's the Lord anyway? Well, I'll tell you something. That's a bad thing to think. Why? They don't realize more destruction. You realize all the destruction that's going on in America right now. You realize what's going on with the families. You realize what's going on in our court systems and things like that. What's going on with our leaders and stuff. And they say, well, God's not doing anything. More's going on what you think. A whole lot more is going on what they think. But I tell you something, one day, see, a little more destruction's going on in the background, and one day, boom, he just lowers the boom. And I tell you something, God has got way more mercy than what people think. You see how merciful He's being? At the same time, He's getting things done, but He's merciful. You know what He'll do with us? In our Christian walk, now we've got our soul to save, but this body, you know what we'll do? God will say, all right, I'm being merciful with you now.
Amen.
I'm being merciful. And still a little bit of destruction is going on, and we kind of bypass. And God said, now, I'm being merciful with you.
That's
and
right.
One day, boom, He just lowers the boom. And then we say, well, I did. And the Lord said, hey, it's like that joke I used to tell. And I know I've told this to Mama when I was a kid. I heard this joke when I was a kid. The guy, it was a flood going on, and it was a three-story house, and they sent in a boat come by at the first story, and he said, no, I've been praying, the Lord's going to help me out. He went up there to the second story, and the boat come by, and he said, look, I've been praying, look, don't y'all just go on, the Lord's going to help me out. And got up there to the third story, and they said, look, you're about to drown. He said, look, the Lord's going to help me out, y'all just go ahead. He drowned. He said, hey, Lord, I thought you were going to save me. The Lord said, man, I sent you three boats and a helicopter. I was trying to save you. And you just, well, that's how it is in our life. The Lord's saying, hey, I'm warning you. And we're thinking, now, see, sentence is not executed speedily. We think because it's not happened right then, we think it's not going to happen. It's coming. It's coming. Our country thinks, well, nothing's going to happen. Okay, it's coming. And Pharaoh didn't think. Pharaoh said, all right, I'm a hard by heart now because I'm going to really get in there now because I know all. And I know it really didn't lower the boom. So I'm really, and you know what happens? That old heart gets hard. And man, it's just like, well, I got away with all that stuff. Let me tell you what it's like. Y'all ever had about, I don't know, 6 to 10 days where you done real good on your diet? And then what happens is, I don't know what happens. But maybe somebody brings a good donut to church and you think, man, it's like you get a little good taste of sugar, and then you know what you do? You go home instead of just letting just that one donut. You go home. It's the only way home. You say, let's stop by Dollar General and get some milk and some Oreos. and then before long, man, you done ate a donut, milk, and Oreo, and then you sit there on the couch going, oh, what's done happened? You know what happens with sin? People think, you know, I've gotten away with that. I got away with a little bit. I'm just going to go ahead and go all out while I'm going at it. That's what Pharaoh's doing here. That's what he's doing. Now look over here now. And he says in chapter 9, verse number 35, it says, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. The Lord already told Moses, and he spoke by Moses. Now you think about this. Moses was their spokesman in this Old Testament. He's about to get the law here in a few chapters and stuff like that. But now, you know what? Paul said over there, if you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me. Moses was the spokesperson. If somebody had done what Paul said in the Old Testament under the law, they would have been listening to the wrong spokesperson. Just like now, he said the Lord was spoken by Moses. We got to realize right now, our spokesman is our Gentile apostle Paul. So you got to realize things like that are tucked in that Bible. I think that's really neat. He spoke by Moses. And the fact that God speaks by a man is wonderful to me. I mean, the fact that he would use a man, that's amazing. Just amazing. We're going to start chapter 10 since we got a little few minutes here. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. Now, we just read just back there that Moses hardened his heart, he and his servants. Okay, then you read now, okay, the Lord says, I've hardened his heart. Well, that's, you know what that is? That's a perfect balance between the free will of man and the sovereignty of God. You can't get any better than that right there. Why? Because the Lord said, hey, if you want to harden your heart, well, that's fine, I'll harden your heart then. If you the Lord didn't say, I'm going to make you harden his heart. God says, okay, you got free will, like it said over in chapter 9, verse 34, I believe it was there, where they had already hardened their heart. And then he says, all right, I'm going to harden your heart. You got to realize something. We can't question what God does. Now, God is perfectly fair. Look, you can't read that Bible and think God is not perfectly fair. But at the same time, this is what, if y'all have ever had known anybody had much of a temper, I've known a few people in my life, and this is what happened. They'd be real nice, some of the nicest people you ever been around. And people would provoke them. And then finally they get mad and they say, well, I didn't mean to make you mad. Why are you so mad? Yeah. You know, that's how it is with the Lord. Right. People are like, you're not going to do nothing, God. What are you talking about, God? I'm going to go. And then whenever God says, okay, then I'm going to fix your little red wagon, like the old saying, you know what happens? Then why'd you do that, God? You're unfair. And the Lord said, hold on just a minute. You're the one that did it. I just gave you what you wanted.
That's right.
People say, well, does God give you what you want? I tell you something, some of the worst things you ever happen is getting what you want. You know what they said over there? Give us a king. And they've been asking, and God and Samuel comes up there and says, well, they want the king. 1 Samuel 8, I believe it is. And God said, Samuel, they didn't reject, they rejected me. Go ahead and give them a king. And you know what? Even after they got the king, the Lord said, go down there, Samuel, and tell them. And he said, he's going to take this, he's going to take that, and he's going to take, six times he said, he's going to take things. And you know what happens? God still warned them. Still warned them. And they said, even so, they still wanted the king. You know what the Jews said over there? We will have no king but Caesar. You know who's been ruling over them ever since? Caesar's been ruling over them ever since. His blood be on us and our children. God said, Father, forgive them, one, know not what to do. Give them one more chance. And for seven chapters there, it gave them a chance. And they got up there and the Lord said, I'm going to fill this man here with the Holy Ghost and let him preach a sermon all the way from the Old Testament there all the way up to now. And they said, no, I'll kill that man. And you think our God isn't merciful? He's a merciful God.
Yes, He is.
And he said, well, if you want your heart hardened, I'll just give you what you want. When you get what you want, you want what you get. And he says, look at this. Show these my signs. Now, the signs, you don't have to turn there because we're running out of time. But I want to read a verse to you. Same hard-hearted rascals over in the New Testament. Listen to this. The Lord Jesus said, and in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? He said, that I might show these my signs before him. Here's Pharaoh getting the signs, and he's saying, hey, you want a sign? Here's a sign. And you're not believing the signs. Just like then they say, man, we believe the weather report. And we watch the weather every time. I know what the weather said. I tell you, like today, the weather report was wrong because it said that it wasn't going to be raining. At least mine did anyway. And it poured down all day. But what I'm telling you is this. He said, Pharaoh, can you not see all this stuff's going on? You not see it with your eyes? You want to go by your eyes? Here it is. And guess what happened? He said, well, I just see that everything's fine now because Moses, every time Moses is going to come up here and take it back away, so I really don't have to get right. And the Lord said, hey, you misread this. This is mercy. You misread the signs. All right, look at this. It says, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. Now, for years, people would tell me, well, these new versions, all they do is they just change the words a little bit. They don't change any doctrine. The Lord is starting Israel out with signs. The Lord Jesus came, he was showing messianic signs to Israel because the nation of Israel requires signs because that's how they started out. You see there, he says, I have wrought, which things I have wrought. He's doing certain things in Egypt for signs. There's a reason why he's doing what he's doing. Now, listen to this. They say, well, they all say the same thing. In this New International, it says in verse 2, that you may tell your children and grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them. I dealt harsh. That's not what he said.
No.
That is, look, you've got a deal there. That's why people say, well, God deals harshly with people. Look at all the mercy. We just went through the last part of that thing showing how he would only kill the ones out in the field and he would leave the other ones. How he would only destroy a certain part of the crops and leave the other. He's having mercy here and he's saying, hey, I have wrought these things in Egypt. Why? I'm doing it for a specific purpose. And if they read it harshly, he gave every one of them a chance. You got to realize there that there are changes. Why? There's a whole thing to go on to paint God in a picture he's really not supposed to be painted in. That's why these words right here are very, very important. You know how important words are? You could take an email and if you change one little thing in an email, that email won't go. That's just a man's thing. And people say, we just take out one or two words in the Bible. You better watch out. Why? You're dealing with a God who is able to do things. Look, he can take the bolts unloose.
That's right.
I tell you something that's as good as any health you can have, a sound mind. The fact that you can sit here tonight and think about God, my, there's people who, I know one guy, I talked to him today out there, and man, I wish I could get through to this guy, but y'all, the bolts are gone. Now, if you talk to him about drumming, if you talk to him about playing a guitar and things like, he's just like that. When you get talking to him about the Lord, it's just like he just comes. You can tell something's off. Why? Up here, he don't believe that book, and it messes the mind up. You know what our deal is to read it and believe it and say, Lord, give me the strength to do what you want me to do.
Right.
I want my mind right, and I want y'all's minds right. Hold on, let me read this last verse here. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse? Now look at Pharaoh's problem here. to humble thyself before me, let my people go that they may serve me. You say, well, how come his heart was hardened? They were to go to according to their conscience. Romans 2:15 teaches you there that they were supposed to go by their... Pharaoh was a Gentile. The Gentiles didn't have the law, which the law wasn't given yet. But they were supposed to go by their conscience. You know what his conscience was telling him? You're doing wrong, you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong. You say, Brother Chase, can you give me a scripture? Mm-hmm. He had just said, I have sinned, so he knew what sin was. But he was a liar because he wasn't humble. And that verse just told you he was humble. And he had seared, he had defiled his conscience. And that's what hardened his heart. And God said, okay, you want to do that? Then we'll let your heart get hard.
That's right.
Man, I tell you what's good in closing. To have that soft heart before the Lord and let the Lord deal with his heart. You talking about being able to deal with the Lord and have that fellowship. There's nothing like it when you say, Lord, I was wrong. I just want to let you know I appreciate you telling me. And Lord, we'll try to get that thing right. And I tell you something, there's joy in that.
Yes, it is.
There's nothing better than having that relationship. We'll close out if we could. Brother Kerry, would you close us out?